Good to be back on a Tuesday night. Thank you for praying for Sister Crosswhite and I. We were in Berryville, Arkansas. We were able to see Sister Schreckheis, missionary from Honduras, and be in service with them. Also, Sarah and her husband are supposed to have a baby at any time if they hadn't had it yet. Josiah Schreckheis goes to church in Berryville. Also at Berryville is a couple that I grew up with that lived there. We stayed in their home. Brother and Sister Goff, what a powerful testimony Brother and Sister Goff has, how God has kept them. And while we were there from North Little Rock, amen, a cousin of mine came just to see me, he and his wife. And Sunday morning, we're so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost that Tammy was refilled with the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I'm telling you, God's still doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hear me. You could go to church and you could get lost in the crowd. Amen. Oh, but friend, there's something about it when God finds you and God puts his arms around you and God says, I don't want to keep you up in a state that you're wasting away. I want you to have eternal life. God's not against you tonight. God is for you. Amen. Oh, you ought to give the Lord a hand of praise right now. You lift your voice and honor the Lord like the Bible says. The Bible says when we praise God, we lift our voice. We praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Neil, I have people ask me all the time, why in the world y'all do all that? The Bible tells us to. And step up here, Brother Neil. I need to use you real quick. Brother Neil, if I reach in my coat tonight and I put a 357 right to you and tell you to stick them up, what would you do? You stick them up. Why do we raise hands when we pray? You know the reason why? Jesus don't have a gun on me. Peyton, he has love on me. He wants to love me. He wants to take over me with love. He don't want to make us a hostage out of force, but he wants to make us a child by his love. And so this is a universal sign of surrender, right? I don't care if you're in China, that means I surrender. I don't care if you're in Nacogdoches, that means I surrender. I don't care if you're where's else in Honduras, that means I surrender. And the Lord taught us that when we pray to lift up hands. Well, Brother Neil, this is not a surrender. You'll get yourself shocked. I grew up in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, folks. It's bad to the bone. They'd shoot you. I went to college in Houston. They'd shoot you. But when you are to surrender, you give all, right? God wants a surrender when we worship. But let me tell you the beautiful thing about what this means. Raise those hands again. When you surrender to God, you ever seen a little boy or a little girl that need their mom or daddy, and they come up to them, they raise their hands? How many here needs God to pick you up and lift you up and hold you? I don't know about you. I need the Lord to hold me. No wonder the Bible says lifting up. I want God to pick me up spiritually. Lift me up tonight. I'm tired of low living. Amen. I'm tired of low existence. I need something to elevate me to a higher realm. We lift our hands. So that's the next thing. Keep those hands up for a second. Next thing it is, look at this. It creates a big funnel right to the heart. See, there's the side of the funnel. And you're inviting God to pour your spirit into your life. We raise our hands, reaching to God, and welcoming God. Just go ahead and do his work in our heart. And I'm hurrying. And the next thing, I love this part. You know what? It starts off with a surrender. But you ever seen somebody, that picture of somebody in the Olympics or won a boxing match? They're getting a gold medal. They lift their hands. Ladies and gentlemen, the grand champion, Neil Moldenhauer. And they raise their hands like this as a sign of victory. This is a victory sign too when you lift your hands. God don't want people to be all bound up, wound up, and broken. But God wants victorious people. We raise our hands because we got victory in Jesus. Victory that day. There's somebody in this room that used to be on cocaine. Amen. And God gave them. Some were on meth and some were just in a mess. But tonight, amen, all because they found Jesus Christ and said yes to God, they can lift their hands in praise and worship because, amen, they have victory in their soul. But you'll never have victory till you learn how to surrender. God will take a surrender sign and turn it to a victory sign tonight. Amen. Oh, would you lift your hands tonight high as you can? Amen. Give God that high praise, that high welcome, that high surrender. Amen. Come on, you got victory tonight. Amen. Go ahead. There's something about it. Go ahead and tell him, I love you, Jesus. Somebody just lift your voice and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I adore you. Go ahead. Feel after God. Reach to God tonight. Are you tired of the low living? Are you tired of the low existence? Amen. What a joy to be victorious tonight. Victory in Jesus here tonight. We give you praise, Lord. We want what you have for us tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Praise God. I had you to stand because I was going to read from the Bible, wasn't I? And I got just so excited. John the 17th chapter, verse 22. John 17, 22. Jesus is praying here. And listen to the words. And he says, and the glory which thou gave me, I have given them. Jesus said, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. He said, I have given. And he said, but I've given that everything, basically. I have given to them that they may be one. Amen. I'm so thankful that God is the one that helps us. He has given everything. Tonight, Jesus held nothing back. On that cross, he gave everything, and neither should we. Tonight, I want to preach from this little thought for a few minutes. All or nothing. All or nothing. Amen. Would you lift your hands, put your Bibles down, lift your hands again, and just give God that attention right now, that love. Go ahead. Oh, one hand is not. Amen. Come on, lift both those hands as you can. Amen. Lift your voice and say, Lord, I want all of you. And I give all of me for all of you tonight. I give all of me my attention, my love. I give you that opportunity tonight, Lord Jesus, to work with me. Have your way, Lord Jesus. I praise you, I love you, and I thank you for giving everything you had for my soul. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the flow begins to move, amen, from what Jesus gave us. And it comes to us and we start feeling something. And we begin to recognize. One man told me this. He said, I've never felt. He said, I always heard that Jesus loves me, but I never felt the love of Jesus Christ. Till, he said, I came into his presence, and from that moment, I knew what real love was because I could feel it. I could feel it at work, and it's not keeping me in one place. It's leading me into something great. And that flow comes to you. Jesus gave that we could know true love. But our response should be this. Lord, you gave everything. I want to give everything. And it's also, you look at the different things. It's application and response to his love that really matters. And tonight, we want to talk about giving God all or nothing. The Lord wants everything. Jesus held back nothing, neither should we. And Jesus did not merely save us from something. He shared himself with us. You think about it. Jesus just don't want to save you from something. Jesus wants you to know who he is. He did not give us a portion of his blessing. He gave us access to his very glory to him. Many people just say, I got something from God, and they feel like, boom, the Lord gave me something. No, the Lord has more than just something to give you. The Lord says, I want to come in your life that you can know the fullness of who I am. And he wants to know the fullness of who you are. You see, God just don't want you to know him. He wants to know you. How beautiful that is. And the world believes in giving enough. But Jesus believes in giving everything. Jesus never does anything by halves. Notice the scripture, the language of the scripture. He gave his life. When you give your life, you're not giving half of it. You're giving all of it. He gave his blood. When your blood is to the last drop, you don't have anything else to offer. He gave his all. He gave his spirit. And when he fills you with his spirit, he's not just giving you a drip drop and a teaspoon and just a little bit of capacity, but the spirit continues to flow. Amen. Are you thankful that the spirit of God is still available? He gave his name, and his name is not just a name. Acts the 4th chapter said his name is the name that is above all names. Amen. And he gave his glory. His glory is not just a thing that you just see and you just look, and it's not just a stage effect. It's not a fog machine or a glitter machine. His glory is real. And when you walk in his glory and experience the power of the Lord, and you know that you know that you know that God is real, nothing can really convince you elsewise. And we're so thankful that he just didn't do that, but he also gave his inheritance to you and I. He held nothing back. I want you to think about it. This is not just something here in life. This is something that he has given forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody say with me, and ever and ever and ever. Hey, the holy God of heaven wants you to know forever his power and his plan. He held back nothing. I want you to imagine a billionaire adopting an orphan. This little child was out there. Mom and daddy's abandoned. He had nobody. He was in an orphanage. But that day, that billionaire said, you know, I'm looking for somebody. And he could simply pay for the food. He could buy clothes. He could provide a house. But instead, when he adopted this young boy who had nobody, this man signs over his entire estate. The orphan just don't become a child that I adopted, but becomes his son. Everything that belongs to the father now belongs to the child. That is what Jesus did to the church. I am his, and he is mine. Amen. He said, I've given all that we may become one with him. Are you thankful that there's just one God? Are you thankful that there is one God? Amen. I didn't have to run and pray to this thing over here, that thing over there. Tonight, I just come and pray to that one true living God. And guess what? He wants us to be one with him. He wants us to know who he is. Woo, what a mighty God we serve. That's what Jesus did. He shared his inheritance. He didn't leave us outside the palace, but he brought us into his family. The book of Romans tells us that we are his heirs. Not only am I an heir, but the Bible says we're joint heirs. Joint heirs means, I mean, it's like a husband and wife. When a husband and wife, whatever they have, it's not just my house we live in, it's our house, right? And when you come to my house, even though our car is in our name, it's her car. Yes, it's her car. But I get to drive our car because we paid it off together. And we pay insurance together. And in my home, it's not just, the only thing that's not mine is her clothes and all that stuff. But I'm glad, amen, that it's ours. We get to share some things. And how beautiful, amen, we're not just those that are just in the place and just saying, oh God, we're entitled to the glory and the beauty of God. He didn't come to give us half. He came to give us everything. And when God has your all, when he is everything to you, God don't want to give you a half. He wants to give you the whole. And only Jesus can make you whole. Amen. He didn't come to make you half. He came to make you whole. He didn't come to divide you. He's come to ignite you and unite your life with his glory and power. Think about it. We're not servants merely living on the property. I'm not a guest visiting occasionally. He's not just my host. And I'm not just family that just comes and goes, but I'm his and he is mine. We're together. What a beautiful thought that he has given everything and he has emptied all of his estates into his people, their life. Even in his church, everything he has given for you and I. How beautiful. His church is not just a building, but the people in the building. Jesus didn't die for the tornado could hit this place tonight. Amen. And our church sign won't save me, and it won't save anybody else. This old building, amen, we come here in this beautiful building that God blessed us, but it's just a building. But I'll tell you who Jesus died for. Everybody that I'm looking at tonight, he died for you to give you an opportunity to know him and to share with you his glory. What a Savior we have tonight. I'm glad to know that I belong to him. I am his church. You are his church. We come to his church. There's no locked rooms in his church where, you know, think about it. No hidden blessing reserved just for Jesus. That Jesus says, okay, this is my little portion. No, he says, I want where I am, I want you to be there too. I want you to have, there's no hidden reserves, no grace that he refuses for his children. In fact, it's kind of like I use the illustration so often, and I used it again the other day. It'd be like you getting invited to the bank, and they said, you know, everything in that vault belongs to you. Everything in that vault, and that vault is filled to capacity. We need you to come get something because this vault is filled. And Sister Nina, how horrible it would be if you had a need. You needed to pay off some credit cards, some bills, and you needed a little extra. And everything in that vault was yours, but yet when the banker says, I need you to come get some of this stuff and use some of this stuff, and you walk in, you say, I just want a little ink pen with the bank's name on it. How crazy that would be, Nina, when everything belongs to you and God's put it there for you to utilize it. Many times we come to God and we're satisfied with the touch. We're satisfied with just a little bit. When God says, no, 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 you're entitled to my glory, my power, my difference, amen, every resource, amen. Oh, friend, he doesn't refuse or hide it from you. Every promise is for you and I, every mercy, every resource, every victory belongs to him, and he's a God that shares it. Man, don't you love when somebody, Sister Crosswhite, loves it when we go to eat? She said, you want to share? She gets a joy out of sharing. I didn't grow up sharing food. I had all boys in my family. You reach to my plate, you got a fork in your hand. Uh-huh. And us boys, we would fight for it. I mean, we fought for the last piece of chicken. Yes. Amen. But friend, my wife loves it when we share. And she gets excited. I never thought I'd ever find anybody excited about sharing that food and cutting that plate in half, Brother Wesley. No, 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 but she enjoys it. My God loves to share. My God is a generous God who loves to share with you and I. Amen. He shares his glory. He shares his love. And what's beautiful, his supply never runs dry. His grace is not rationed. His mercy is not limited. His love is not measured. His strength never reaches empty. And I'm telling you, we'll never exhaust the glory of God we receive. Amen. It's kind of like the little boy taking a cup in the middle of the ocean and filling it with the ocean and emptying it. Picking it up and emptying it. He will never empty the ocean that way. Amen. I thank you, you could never empty out the promises and the power and the love of my mighty God. Amen. Oh, how beautiful it is to know the power of Jesus Christ. Have you ever opened an unexpected present before? Somebody gave you a present and you opened it, and it's so amazing because there's something there for you. Every time I come to church, it's like God has something for us. I've used this. Y'all know it. Y'all heard it before. Katie, when she was a little girl, said these words. She said, Daddy, I've heard you in church and people talk about the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I was talking about the presence, like God being present in the church. And she thought presence, like gifts, and big wrap gifts. And she said, Daddy, I would visualize the building full of wrap presents in here. Amen. God has great big things for us. But many times, amen, we don't get it because we don't reach to God and we don't unwrap what God. I'm telling you, God has some things for you tonight, some things for you to unwrap in your mind and your soul and for you to leave this place with a new perspective. Are you thankful that God has something for you tonight? God has something for you tonight. God hasn't left anybody out. Have you ever been to where they left you out? They started naming names and said, we got this gift. Oh, this one right here, Lauren. And they called her name. This one right here says, let's see what this is. Wesley. This one says Austin. And pretty soon they run out of gifts. And where's my name? Where's my gift? I've been there. Well, they did not prepare and they ran out. But God has exactly what you've been needing in your soul. God is ready to give to you what he died for. He's come to give all, not just a portion. Amen. How beautiful he is. And I want you to just stop right here and realize what could possibly equal his gift when he gives it. Have you ever been somewhere and they had a gift for you, but you didn't have a gift for them? That's happened before. And I mean, I felt bad that they had thought about me, but I didn't even think about stopping to get a gift. They had something, they well thought about it. Well, that's okay tonight. Amen. You may feel like you didn't come prepared to give, but there is something that you can give and something that will possibly equal all what he has given. He gave his all. You know all he's asking for, Brother Wesley? For you to give back to him your all. When you give God all of you, you say, but I don't have very much. It's just old me. My life is all messed up. You may feel like Ronnie Morris. You may feel like a dried up individual that life is taking its toll. That's okay. All it takes is you saying, God, I have nothing much of me, but I give me to you. That's what God is looking for. Amen. Even in the jail, how crazy it is. I looked at people that are in their 20s that look like they're 60 years old. Life has taken them on a ride. Meth has taken their life. But friend, when I begin to tell them how beautiful God is, that God is just waiting for them to open the door and say, here I am, God. And wait. I'm telling somebody tonight, amen, as a pastor, God is ready and waiting on you to finally say, I give. Amen. What will cause you to surrender? Will it be a fatality in your life, somebody you love? Will it be something drastic? What will it take for you to finally say yes to God? God don't want that to happen. But you know what moves God? When you are moved by his love. I don't think God is after us tonight to try to catch us and make us something. God is looking for somebody to finally say yes to him. We have nothing except our everything to give. We cannot repay Calvary, but we can surrender ourselves. We can give our heart, our worship, our gratitude, our trust, our obedience, our time, our talent, our possessions, and ultimately, we give ourselves. The Bible says in Proverbs, honor the Lord with your substance. I know that we talk about, we are meeting, we say, oh, we got to reach my billfold. I got to give God some of my substance. I believe in doing that. But there's something more than money. There's something more than possessions. God really wants you tonight. He really wants you to give over. The great exchange, Jesus gave his life, his blood, his glory, his inheritance, his spirit, his name, his future. He gave it all. And his response is, will you give me you? Will you give? Will you finally say, God, here am I? Well, it's all or nothing. God don't want a little bit. God wants all of you. Jesus never loved halfway. He never forgave halfway. He never saved halfway. And he gave his all. The only reasonable response is for us to say, Lord, I'm yours completely. Romans, the 12th chapter, the Bible says, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And think about what Paul's saying here. It's essentially the same. Jesus Christ gave everything for us. And the only logical response is to place your entire life in his hand. I'm thankful today that Jesus gave everything. Jesus didn't give us leftovers. He gave his lordship with him. Grace isn't measured by what God withheld, but by what God refused to keep. Think with me. God didn't merely open heaven's door. He handed you the keys to his kingdom. The cross proves that God has never loved anybody halfway. And you don't honor an all-giving Savior with a half-hearted life. Partial surrender is inadequate. It's not really a surrender. But friend, when you give your all, you're giving yourself as a complete sacrifice. Jesus held nothing back at Calvary, so I hold nothing back to him. How can you give your life? You give it by simply surrendering everything you got. But I got some bad things in my life. I got some things I can't shake loose. And when I finally get all my ducks in the row, when I finally get everything in order, I'll start living for God. Don't be an idiot. We don't get good to get God. We get God to get good. Are you thankful that God is our great shepherd? Amen. He's the only good thing in our life. He'll take the worst of the worst. I'm glad that God has a place for those that really realize that they can't live for God on their own. I can't live for God on my own. I'm a miserable man. I can't live for God without God. I can't shape things up in my life without God. I need God, and I need my brothers and sisters. I need God's people, and I need my God. I need His church, and I need the God of the church. He gave His all. Tonight, God is looking for somebody to give back all or nothing. Stand with me. How exciting. To know how to give yourself to the Lord. The presence of the Lord is in this house tonight. God wants to reveal His glory to you because God didn't come to play tonight. He's come to love. He's come to give. He's come to give everything. He's come to put the keys in your hand tonight to His kingdom. That you don't have to be somebody on the outside, but you could have the inside power. When I give the keys to something, you become a key holder. And many times when Brother Colton was as a police officer, or those that know anything about that, if somebody, they get an alarm that goes off in a building, the first thing the dispatch and the police that's responding, they start looking for is the key holder. We need a key holder. Because the key holder has access to everything in that building. That way, the enforcement, when they come, or the fire department, when they come, they don't have to break down the door. God didn't want to break down the door. He has given us keys that we could open the doors of our heart and God could have authority to walk in our life at any given moment. The Lord's in this place tonight. He's come to love and to help you. There's some things in your past that you can't get over. There's some things that you don't want anybody to know about. That's okay. The Lord is here to take those things from you, hurts and hang-ups. I'm telling you, problems in your life, things that make you feel ugly on the inside. Oh, you can't find beauty. Maybelline won't give you beauty. Mascara won't put it on. Bondo won't give it to you. Amen. Me buying a wig won't make me beautiful. But I want to tell you what will make you beautiful. When you let the King of Glory have His way in your life, God will beautify, the Bible says, the obedient or the meek with salvation, with glory and power. Amen. There's something about the beauty of God. Amen. Us men, we don't like the word beauty unless we're looking at somebody beautiful. Tonight, in that mirror, I see ugliness and I see problems in my life. But tonight, God wants to let you know His beauty, His grace, His goodness, His plan, His mercy, His love. But He's waiting on you just to make a surrender tonight. Come on, He gave His all, and He's asking you to give back tonight. Amen. What's holding you back? What's keeping you back? Come on, He gave everything, and He's just looking for you to say, okay, God, I tried it my way. I'm ready for Your will, Your way to be done in my life. Amen. Oprah, you may not know what to do at this moment. You begin to say, God, I need help, Lord. Would You forgive me of me holding back? Would You forgive me of these things in my life? Would You forgive me of my sins? God, I need to turn to You. I need to surrender to You. I really need victory. I need to leave here with a different me, a different way, a different life. God, I need to leave here with what You paid for, Lord Jesus. Oh, would You lift Your hands high as You can right now in this place? Amen. Would you lift your voice and love Jesus back? Come on, that's what He's looking for, somebody just to love Him. Come on, you can love God, and it starts with a surrender. Love starts. Love is a language that God understands. When you love the Lord and you trust Him and you believe Him and you surrender to Him, tonight God is in His place to prove and to let you know that He cares about you. I love You, Jesus. I praise You. Lift your voice in this place. Lord, I give, I give, I give. I surrender everything to you, Jesus. Here am I, Lord. I give my all to you, Jesus. I worship you and I praise you. To you all things, Jesus. I give. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. There's some people just it's hard for them to love. It's hard for some people to love back. Would you just love the Lord back? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy of everything in my life. Hallelujah. You're worthy.